question or thought for us. I think perhaps so Linda had a question for us.
I believe she's with us. 541, you are on the air.
Hello, I hope you have your question in front of you.
Have your question in front of you?
No, and once I ask it, it seems to go out into the universe. But it was something about one of the elementary principles, or one of the four elements, that had to do with the hydrogen molecule and its resistance to having its electron stolen from it. Was that correct? Did I understand that correctly?
Well, it wouldn't receive an extra electron, wouldn't give its electron up. And idea of recognizing that there's something, there's definitely a force involved, and to use that as a way of understanding that there are eternal forces that we cannot intellectually or with our physical senses perceive, but by observing the effects it creates, by being aware of its existence, of observing the effects it creates.
What kind of effect would that would be like, Michael, so I could have kind of a visual?
The fact that if we have a space and time, we start shooting electrons into that space, then those electrons are going to occupy that space. But with the hydrogen atom, you can't shoot electrons into that space and occupy it. So the deduction is there's something there that's inhibiting that. There's some sort of a force that we can't touch with our senses that is inhibiting that space from being occupied by a random electron that we try to shoot into that space.
So my question is, what popped into my head was the question, is there any sort of link between that elemental force and free radicals running amok in the body? Because I understand free radicals have a function in the body, but whether they're overproduced and then kind of run amok. So I was wondering if physiologically there might be some link between those two phenomena. Yeah, in relation to inflammation, for example.
Right.
But that was, I may no answer for that, but that just popped into my head.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, my brain cells do not have a link or a way to make sense of those two things being related. You know, the fact that, let's say, for instance, we have an excess of free radicals because, let's say, for instance, we bring toxins into the body, things that don't belong in the body, and the body tries to defend against it. But I would see that as a different principle than the one with the hydrogen resisting change.
So, since we are all biologically unique, could we say that anything could be a toxin that it might affect our body, but not someone else's, nutritionally speaking?
Well, each individual is biochemically unique, so there are going to be sensitivities. You know, for instance, in the drug world, they say, well, you know, only 0.01% of people have these side effects. No, 100% of people that take that drug have those side effects. It just is not apparent, except in the person who, for whatever their biochemical uniqueness, makes them prone to a more extreme reaction to that particular disease process that they call a side effect. But
yeah,
everybody has that, would be my take.
Yeah, that's interesting because I have just through my observations of my biology personally and what sorts of research I've stumbled across that I have come to the apparent possibility that I am a very slow acetylator, which means my liver is sluggish, and I know that from personal experience, and that I don't detoxify the way quote-unquote normal people do.
Well, you might want to look at the liver detox. You might want to look at things like perhaps your use of fructose. If you use any of that, you might want to get rid of it.
No, I don't.
And do a liver detox, perhaps. And liver in the East is generally looked at as the seat of anger. So approaching it from that aspect in terms of mind energy and the reflecting emotions involved, the energies that reflect off of that, might be worth looking and seeing if there's any work to be done in that arena.
Yeah, I'm definitely with that one, and rage is the issue that I am really looking at, because that's what I use my feet on. And I haven't really, what I would consider, from my personal research and experience, a hot kidneys, which in the TCM is reflective of fear. Kidneys are the...
Right. And I would invite you to consider that perhaps the...
Excuse me. My cheek just touched something. And the kidneys are the agent for fear. And somebody's trying to call me, so I just sent them to voicemail. But I don't know.
So one of the statements you made, I'd invite you to consider perhaps looking at the reverse and see if that's true. In my experience, fear does not tend to be used as much as an anesthetizing agent. My take is it tends to be more primary, and rage or anger, hostility, tends to be the internally generated drug that the body uses to anesthetize against whatever the thought disorders are related to fear and whatever the trauma or pain is in that regard. So I just invite you to consider looking at that. I don't think fear anesthetizes anger. Anger, I would offer my understanding, my best understanding and experience is that it's reverse.
Well, it's really interesting because my terror is so primary. I've had a couple of total meltdown situations where I was sure I was going to die. And I one was on the ocean, on our trip across the ocean in our 30-foot sailboat. And the other was
right,
on the side of a mountain where it was insane. And I think I shared that one, too. So what my feeling is at this moment is that that fear is so primal that it overshadows the rage. However, what I'm discovering as I work with my rage is that I suspect there was rage because the little two-year-old or the little infant, that survival is so dependent on their family relationship, that I began to feel that rage very small because it interfered with my primal need to be safe, to be nurtured, to be loved, all of those things, which were not happening. So
right. So what I invite you to look at is that there's probably an inherited aspect of both the fear and the rage, and that as you talk about, you know, the little one wanting acceptance, support, safety, and all of those things, and not having that would tend to relate to fear, and then along comes an anesthetic to shut down the fear, to anesthetize against and bury the fear, would be my offering of something to just take a look at.
Yes, because when I had the first attempt to have a goal, a physical goal, you know, as a little two-year-old, and not, I don't even want to know the term because I'm not feeling the emotion yet, I'm working towards that, then the rage wasn't possible anymore. It became a true survival issue where I didn't dare exhibit the rage. And I've been looking at your chart, the physiological effects from the pineal down to the gonads, and all of a sudden it is just really
voice disappeared, Celinda.
Yep. So I'm excited about that anyway, that I'm doing work with that. I'm doing the two-way prayers. I'm working with an AA person on a four-step inventory. So I'm doing my forgiveness sheets as I'm feeling led, and I'm seeing if I can make some sort of successful breathing attempt to do breath meditation, just focusing on the breath. So hopefully that's all helpful. And
sweet. Awesome. Well, and my offering would be that you're never going to heal that emotion. Nobody can heal an emotion because an emotion is not a disease. It's a defense mechanism.
Right.
It's a protect mechanism. What you're ultimately going to want to do is ask for guidance on what's the thought disorder, maybe generational, that here I am at two and I'm not getting what I need. To invite the thought disorder to come to awareness, invite Ruka to show that to you, to process through that. And when the thought disorder that generates both the fear and the rage, you know, probably correlated but different thoughts, as you take hold of those chunks of mind energy, then the physiological expression that results in emotion will, I'd offer, disappear, and that will be where the healing happens.
Can you just throw out in the atmosphere some examples of thought disorder so I kind of get a feel about what it, not that they would be it, but that what I'm asking about, so when it shows up I can recognize it maybe?
Sure. Well, if you look at that chart on the physiological effects of emotional suppression, that's exactly what the thought disorders are. And the first one that, you know, we're designed, if we go to the first beatitude in the Aramaic Beatitudes, what it speaks of is there's a latent neural structure in us that when our home is in the breath, in the eternal forces from God, in Ruka Dukkha, rather than in our minds, in our heads, and in our bodies, then there's this neural structure that leads us to happiness and well-being that becomes available to us. So that there's the beginning point of that. And as you allow yourself to breathe in and look at that, what was the message? You know, there's usually a message, and it usually comes from a power person. And there are two different kinds of power person messages that I've identified. I'm sure you've heard me speak of them. One of them is it's direct. And the direct message is, instead of living in safety and the presence of love, Ruka Dukkha, as we're designed to, the energy comes in that interferes with that state. And that message is usually something like, you're broken. There's something wrong with you. You'll never get it. You'll never be good enough. Or whatever the variation on the theme is. That's usually the first thought disorder that comes from a power person. Or the second way we can acquire a power person thought disorder is that it's a passive thought disorder. Like, for instance, if I'm not getting the care that I need, my power person may never even had enough energy to pay attention to feeding me any negativity about myself. But I may come to the conclusion that, well, here I am and I'm supposed to be taken care of and nobody's taking care of me, therefore I guess I'm just not worthy of being taken care of. So passively something we make up as a result of the interaction with our power person. But it's still a power person dynamic all the same. So there'd be a couple of examples.
Oh, thank you for that, because that reaffirms what tentative conclusions I had come to already about that, both the passive and active. And then also when I look at the chart, every one of those metabolic systems have been affected in my physiology. Every one of them. I mean, I can go bingo on every one of those thoughts and bingo on every one of those the metabolic system, the thyroid, all of those. I just lost the word for it. Sorry about that. Oh, I'm not sorry about that. Scratch that.
Right. Good catch. Good catch. So then what I'd invite you to do is to go back to your personal code evaluation.
Okay.
And maybe sit and watch the videos that came with it and really get on another level what your assignments are from the personal code evaluation that relate to those early thought disorders. And then take the assignments, the word links, the mind shifters and such. And you inspire me to perhaps do a project which I haven't thought of doing before. Just opened that possibility, and that is to create a set of mind shifters that specifically go with the thought disorders on the physiological effects of emotional suppression. So I'll take that on as a project and do a mind shifter for each of those, and I'll make sure that you're one of the first ones to get it.
Now, I would be that very interested. Go ahead.
No, I'm complete.
Okay. I would be very interested in listening to the different CD sets that you have. Only there are two things. One, it takes a lot of effort to get the labels off so that I can listen to them on my iMac. And also the second thing is the financial factor. I can go back and get Aramaicisms, which I've listened to more than once, and I would love to listen to the Laws of Living and some of the others, but because of my restrictions, I don't have them. And I was just wondering if most of those have been put on the archives at one time or another, or if I could access, maybe by searching the website, the days that you did recordings of those different ones, especially on my top three, actually four issues, because I had two that were number three. I would love to listen to them, like when I'm down at the garden or something like that.
Right. Do you have internet access when you're down at the garden?
On my iPhone, but only...
Or phone, your phone. The signal, you can still... Can you do streaming?
No. That's too much gigabyte for my phone.
Yeah.
I can do it here. Usually when I'm here, I am totally involved with the duties that I'm required to do, the morning radio show, and taxes, which I'm still working on, and things like that.
Right. Yeah, so, I hear you.
I have a full spaghetti plate here, that's for sure. And then
understood.
Self-care in that. Yeah, you know that. You know that one.
Yeah.
It's a simplification process all the time. What's really important here? Relationship, commitment to self, commitment to other, and survival needs. About it.
Well, if you listen to the input of a really wise fellow that lived about 2,000 years ago, he said those things are all the things that are effects that you really don't need to be concerned about if you do the one thing that's important.
Yep.
And that's make that connection to the community of love that you connect through from within.
And that's where really the bulk of my priorities are going. It's managing that when it's not understandable by others who also have needs that they want me to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a juggling process, right? But most of my time goes to precisely what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And energy.
Well, we hold the space.
I know you do. That's why I keep calling.
And I might invite you to look, as you say that that's where most of your energy goes, that you know, if you go back and you listen to the recording again, that was not on your priority awareness of things that you called primary for you. Or, yeah, I don't think you used the word primary, but the message I got from it was, you mentioned three things that are primary to you, and that wasn't one of them. So you might just look at that. Maybe there's a conflict and something to work through on that.
Well, refresh my memory as to what I said that I said was the primary.
Well, if you go back and listen to the archive, I don't have them memorized, but, you know, it was the needs of others, and I couldn't language what the three of them were, but the three were not indicative of what this wise gentleman said 2,000 years ago that we needed to seek, and that was that
I
community of love within us.
Yeah, I think that's where I either miscommunicated or you didn't hear. My primary one is the amount of time I spend pursuing seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's most of where my time is put.
Yeah. Cool.
And that's
awesome.
So that's an affirmation for both of us that I'm doing my work to the best of my ability.
And we're holding the space for it. So extending love in your direction.
Yep, and I ditto the same back. So I am committed.
Right. Awesome. Bye. Nice work. Holy good of blessings. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, any other thoughts for you before we complete?
She dropped already.
Oh, okay.
You do have a hand up, and I believe it's Miss...
Well, let's say hello to the hand.
Miss Cammie, 618.
Welcome, young lady.
Good afternoon.
Good to hear your voice. Where do you be? We're rocking.
I'm in Maryville. And I decided it would be a good idea in all my brilliance to try to pick the riding lawnmower up over a log and threw my back out. So I had to come up here and go to the chiropractor, and Matt is in Missouri. We're getting the house on the market today, or not today, this week.
Uh-huh.
So,
then we're going to go to Mexico for an easy, fast, abundant sale.
Yes, it's going to sell within a week for asking price. The way things are moving down there, I just have no doubt. And then we're going to go to Mexico and get rid of that apartment and bring our stuff back, and we'll be down to one house for the first time in 7 or 8 years. So our responsibilities, financial responsibilities, all of that stuff is going to be wrapped up tight for a golden retirement. Yeah.
Nice.
So
and how's
I'm
Alex
pretty
doing?
Excited. Alex is doing wonderful. He loves Portland. He's working for the post office. You know, he's kind of following in mom's footsteps, so maybe he'll go to college later.
so he's out of the banking world now.
He is, yes. He's, during COVID, he just couldn't stand it with no customers to talk to. So he got out at that point.
Well, tell him that I said hello and send my love. He may not even remember me, but it's been a long time.
Oh, no, you were definitely a mainstay in your teaching in his life growing up. You know,
cool.
He knows Michael Wright. Occasionally when he calls me depressed or something, I'll say, you know, hey, why don't you give Michael a listen? And he'll go, I might do that. You know, but he doesn't. And he will sometime, or he'll find...
But it's time.
His
it's
teacher.
Time.
Yeah, or he'll find his teacher, you know. You've been...
Cool.
You and Sam have been my biggest support for the last 20 years.
Cool.
That doesn't mean you guys will be his support.
Yeah, text me his number if that's okay to do. If you text me his number, I'll send him some links and drop him a hello.
All right, yeah, that'd be cool. I'm really excited. He's met a new girl with the energy that's changing within me. you know, he really wants to have babies and find a partner for life. And he has met a little girl that her pictures, she just looks amazing. I mean, yes, her physical beauty, she's mixed race. She is gorgeous, but she's just got an energy about her that's so vibrant. And I'm really excited about that. Yes.
Very cool.
So, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of the basics just from growing up with it.
Yeah, cool.
And so, but here's the thing. My question I had Friday, and I didn't get in before the time was up. I have been struggling for over 20 years with the three filters. And my struggle is, to me, when I get into hostility, that's based in fear.
Yeah.
So I've always
fear and hostility. Fear and hostility are like Rachman and Kuba are interrelated, but in most minds, they've become kind of almost. This isn't literally true, but almost an entity to themselves. But yeah, they are definitely interrelated. It's like that old song, you know, love and marriage, you can't have one without the other. Yeah, they're definitely related.
Okay, and then I was, hang on a minute, because I'm in a state of confusion the last few days because my willingness has not been great with all the stuff going on at the house and stuff. But,
really,
that's like in the 20 years or 20 plus years that I've been doing this work and staying in touch with you, I've had that struggle, and I feel like it's kind of a key to really understanding Rachman and Kuba and what's the other one?
Ruka.
Ruka, yeah, sorry. And
that's
how they work together. I had said asked you something a couple weeks ago, and I was just in confusion and didn't really understand it, where I was thinking that, like, you have Rachma, and then Kuba comes in with the intellect, and then it kind of gets everything off balance. And I think you were saying it's the way all three of them work together that make it all work.
Well,
not that one triggers the other one, you know, that an event triggers Kuba and you go into intellect. That was what I was looking at. And I think you said, no, not really.
Well,
that it's all three of them and the way they just kind of play together.
Well, the way that the two filters interrelate, remember that Rachma is over the frontal lobes of the brain, intentions. Kuba is over the back of the brain, perception. And again, it's one of those things of you can't have one without the other. And the primary filter.
Hang on just a second, because I'm trying to write this down. So Kuba is perception, and Rachma is
intention. I'll send you a poster of it.
Okay. And then
I'll send you a link to the poster.
And then Ruka is, I mean, it's the state of love, but what is
so in Aramaic
perception, and then what is
so
Ruka?
If we start out, we ask Ruka, or listen to Yeshua. He says, what's most important in the law? And he says, Rachma. So you start out by recognizing that there's no such concept in any language. So as we said earlier with this manuscript, we're going to have to develop some new concepts, some new brain cells. So we have this filter over the frontal lobes of the brain that inhibit anything negative or destructive coming into awareness by way of intentions. And that's important because our intentions are the raw material of our goals. So if Rahma is active, he says that comes first, then our goals are all based in love. I then select a goal. I select a goal, and I make a commitment to it. So I select an intention out of the myriad of intentions that I have, and I make a commitment to it, which turns it into a goal. Now it's a driver for perception.
Okay.
So now that I've got this goal based in love, and maybe I've got some rage connected to the file in my mind on love, all of a sudden, I load that goal, rage comes up, and when that rage comes up, I'm in my hostility filled with perception, so whoever or whatever I look at, I'm in irritation, and when that rouses its ugly head, it knocks out Rahma. Now I can get into negative or destructive. I'm going to attack. I'm going to, you know, do whatever I do. So maintaining Rahma comes first, which means my goals are keyed to love. And then if I load a goal that resonates something based in hostility or fear out of my perceptual mind, that's when I want to have a personal code that says, I do my work. Oh, I loaded this beautiful goal based in love. You know, I wanted this person to just cherish me, a really good goal, really honorable, awesome goal, and this person just dissed me, and now I'm really peeved. So what I want to do is I want to have a personal code that prompts me when I'm in that peeved state to say, I've just knocked out Rahma and Kuba in my mind, and now I can do something negative. I need to engage in forgiveness. So I engage the forgiveness process, and a step in the forgiveness process is, once I've identified the goal that's driving my pained perception, and I cancel that goal, now I invite Rukha Dikutcha into activity. And Rukha Dikutcha, in this scenario, is this feminine elemental force in us that, by definition, if I'm willing and I invite her into activity, undoes the effects of my errors and teaches me the truth. So when I find myself in that deep state and I realize that my goal was to be cherished, and then I do this really what seemed like a silly ass thing to the normal mind, I'm going to cancel my goal to be cherished after this person cute on me. Why would I do that? Well, you do that because you notice that when you put that goal to be cherished in your mind, it brought up that peeves part. And you can't afford to go around with a part of your structure that's locked into that peeved energy. So you process out and you clean that up. And when you're in a state of openness and breath and willingness, you remember on the worksheet there are several reminders to breathe, at the point where I've collapsed the peeved perception, I get to drop into the root of that. And now I'm asking this super processor, so to speak, Rukha Dikutcha, to undo all of that in me and teach me the truth. So now Rukha can open the space where I will be, instead of driven by my peeved perception, my hostile perception, I'll be back to a state connected with truth, and I'll be able to go back and go, okay, so now I'm going to reset Rahma, reset Kuba, and I'm going to load this goal to be cherished again. And if this person doesn't fulfill my goal, if I've cleaned up my mind, if I've turned it over to Rukha and I've cleaned out the deep part, this person doesn't cherish me, and I go, oh, well, I stay connected to love. I don't lose it to my own peeved energy because I've processed you and I've healed it. So that would be how they would all work together.
So would you say, you said that Rahma was intention, Kuba was perception, and then would you say Rukha
would be like the maintenance woman? We have problems with it. If we call her in, she knows how to do it. I mean, you know, if this peep part goes back 10 generations of my bloodline, I've got a feminine elemental force in me that knows how to reach back 10 generations. And unless I decide I have a reason to keep this peep part, because I have free will and I can keep it forever if I want, if I choose and I say I'm finished with that, then I can turn over and that maintenance woman will undo it for me. Will clean
That's
me up.
Awesome. I love that analogy.
It's a good one. I haven't used that. I hadn't thought of that before. It just came in the moment. But yeah, that's it.
We got a maintenance crew
in there. Yeah, it absolutely is. It is. Yeah, you can bet you'll be hearing more of it from me.
Cool.
So thanks for the gift. Thanks for the question.
You know,
that's
what
the beauty.
What started me back on this path was something I've heard you say probably thousands of times that stresses the difference between what is and what we want. You know, and that just opened the
window. Well, actually, not quite. Stress is the difference between the way I perceive it and the way I want it to be. Not necessarily the way it is, the way I perceive it.
Right.
I mean, it may be in this situation that this person was just totally and completely there as a space of love, honoring and cherishing me 100%. But something triggered just by looking at something on the TV out of the corner of my eye, that old thief part, and I blocked it out. And now my perception says they're not honoring me. They're not cherishing me.
Right.
So it's a difference between the way I perceive it to be and the way I want it to be. And the distance between those two pieces of the puzzle determines how deep my stress will be, how intense my stress is going to be. If there's a little difference, it's like, so what? But if there's a big difference,
Right. That clarifies a lot for me. And I have to tell you, because I know we got to be running out of time.
No, we're good.
We have more fun. But I want to tell you that on March 1st, I was a year sober for the first time since I was 25. And
wow. That's awesome. Here you are, 35, so you're doing your best you've done in 10 years, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be 60 this year.
That's pretty awesome.
You know, I had periods of time where I was doing my work and I just drank a glass of wine once in a while. But then when Mark died, that went out the window. And I picked up hard stuff and lots of it. But there was a sticking point for me with a year. Getting to that year, because I'd relapsed in the 11th month a lot. And I just feel like, and it's been easy. I've only had a few cravings, a few things that I played with for a couple minutes. And I feel like sobriety is now my way of life. And
all right. And the only thing that will trigger
feeling. When I went to Heartland the first time, when I stepped my feet on Heartland ground, I almost left because you said Jesus, and my life changed that day in a way. I lost what I was going to say.
Your first trip to Heartland and what shifted for you?
Everything changed. And within a couple of years, my life was good for the first time, you know. And you know, lots of trauma in my life and stuff. You know, and my kids got the benefit. And, you know, not as much as I would have liked, but, you know. My relationship.
Well, when you...
I had my niece call me. I don't know if I told you this. My niece called me for the first time in years. Just a couple weeks after, like last week, a couple weeks after I started doing this work again. My relationships are all healing. My finances are healing. My life is organized. My house is organized. It is a miracle. I know what I was going to say. When I walked into Heartland, that was when all the things that I learned in my years in AA made sense. All the little slogans and stuff, the way that you put it, those slogans made sense. And now I see the importance of them, and I'm not working the steps, so to speak, but in doing this work, you work the steps. You just don't say I'm doing step one. step two, you know, and all of the promises are true, or have come true.
Yep.
A new freedom and happiness.
So, right, so I have an assignment for you.
Yeah.
And that is to do a written acknowledgement to yourself of how deeply you've changed the family dynamics from what was done to you as a child and what you are now doing to yourself and to the world.
A written acknowledgement.
Of yourself for the change you've made in just one generation, which is monumental.
Right.
And that will be a powerful mind shifter for you.
So for the
I can remember all the effort you put into keeping it as on track as you were capable of at each step, and to look at where you came from and what you went through before you started doing this work to today. I mean, to make that kind of a shift in one generation is miraculous. I mean, it is literally miraculous.
It really is. You know, and they think I'm crazy. And I'm the one that's sitting here with peace and happiness and joy and a wonderful husband and great supportive friends. And I'm sorry, I'll keep it. And I apologize. I take that back. I am not sorry. I'm wonderful.
Good catch. I was just going to mention that, but I'm glad you caught it. Nice catch.
I've really been paying attention to my language, which is moving things pretty fast, too. Like, I'm just being very intentional with my language and my actions, and I needed to talk to you today. I'm back on track, babe.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. You know, the course talks about how millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you've done, and to make the shift from the kind of trauma that you came up in to what you're doing today is, that's a major contribution to the world.
Yes, and my adorable...
Bringing that level of healing into the world is monumental in terms of the energy that it makes available to everyone.
Yes. Yes, I mean,
I don't know if you've heard me.
Sorry, go ahead.
We got a delay going on. But I don't know if you heard me mention before, but if you look at historically at inventions and patents, you find there are things that were patented in the world in three totally different countries, totally different areas of the world, people who knew nothing about each other. And all three patents were granted the same day to different people who had no communication with each other, which to me is just verification that when an energy comes into the world, it becomes available. So three minds in three different countries picked up this patent idea and got a patent at the same time, which shows the energy was available. And so when someone like you does the work you've done, when you look at the trauma you've been through and you step into the willingness to do the work you've done, that's like what it makes available to the world is, that's exactly what the physicist Yeshua was saying when he said a little leavening leavens a whole loaf.
Yeah.
And you're going to take a certain number of people doing that to make that available and the amplitude of the energy of it to be strong enough to become universally available. 7.5 billion
Which
minds.
Has been, Michael, you know, Alex has been my great motivator through all of this to heal the generation. It has, that's been my motivation. Because I, of course, want the best for him. He's my precious.
I'm just looking. I'm sitting here at the kitchen table, and Jamie just got several copies of her new book, which is Healing Generations One Breath at a Time. So I'm looking at the cover of her new book because she's working on some final editing. Healing Generations.
When is that released? I've been really, I contacted one of my old social work teachers to ask him if he was doing anything on generational trauma, and he said he hasn't done it for years. So I've been looking for that. So when are you guys looking at releasing that?
Well, Jeannie's working on it. I don't know what her schedule is at this point. I think it's going to depend. She just got the the printed copy of it a couple of days ago, so starting to work on some final editing.
Can I be the first purchaser?
I'm sure she'd be happy.
All right. I'll have to ask her. But I
well, there she is.
Playing in this energy, you know, it used to tick me off when you'd say, "Do you want to come play?" And it's like, I'm just loving playing in this energy. It's fantastic.
I understand. I understand. Once you realize it's there to be done, like to me, what else is there to do? Like, what else is important? Nothing.
Right.
I mean, we got to eat and all that. Sort of thing, but what else is important?
And also, I was thinking about talking about the love filter and fear and hostility. I mean, ultimately, there's only love. It's just the perception that screws it all up, right?
That's it. That's the truth of it.
Because that love, when the maintenance woman comes in and makes the corrections, you know, it was all motivated by love in the first place.
Yep.
That's
what's behind it all.
Yeah. I just want to thank you again. Life is good.
Honored and delighted and glad to be on the team.
Thank you.
All right. Lots of love and blessings. Take care.
Thanks.
Breathing on that one. Miss Jeannie. Do we have anybody else in the phone queue with a hand up? We got about 10 minutes left.
There are no other hands up, but I will say, I don't know that Celinda is, no, she's not back on yet, but I'll send her an email. But I'm putting a list of the workshops that we've got on DVD that we have played on the radio show, so people can go back
right.
And do a search for the titles. So I've made a list of those. And then also for Cammie, we've got a page on the website about Rachma in Cuba. And so I've got a link for that in the notes for today, as well as a link for the Getting the Stress You Need schematics of the mind. And then at the bottom of every worksheet is the definition for Rukka Dukkha. So that's all. I've been putting all that in while you've been talking.
Yeah, that's all. That's all right. Thank you for handling so much, sweetie.
And Cammie, I sent you a note that on Facebook that as soon as I'm trying to find as soon as it's available, I'll let you know. It'll also be announced on Facebook. And so I just sent you a copy of the front of the book. And so make sure that...
And we'll be talking about it here, too.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We do have a hand up. And
great.
I don't have this number in my phone book, so I'm not sure who it is. 903, you are on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear.
Excellent. Hi, this is Rome. How are you all doing today?
Hey, welcome back, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Delighted.
Well, I'm calling in today. I missed some of the first end of the show. Caught all the second half. So I'm not sure if it was covered. Probably not. But in regards to some of the work that we all need to do, not
right.
Returning to the book, but, you know, the worksheet. I have a question for you so when it comes to working on ourselves and really forgiving and learning these techniques, I can't say that I have experience in the way that I'm looking to gather. I'm sorry, I have my daughter with me.
I think that's wonderful. What age is she? Or should I say how long has she been circling the sun?
Well, she's, let's see, today is the 4th, so tomorrow will make 8 months.
Oh, wow. What a precious time.
She is amazing, and it's really shown me a lot, which anyone who's a parent, I'm sure, can attest to. My first child, but I tell you what, in listening to the last listener and hearing about some of the work that she's been doing and your attribution to that and her walk, I just think it's an amazing thing that she's not only doing for herself, as you already said, but what she's doing for the world at large and every person. That's one person, but yet, I mean, all for one, one for all. I mean, I don't know how people see it, but I kind of see it all as we're all connected to the same source. We all are the source. We're not the source, but a part of the source, the drop, but not the ocean.
That's
right?
Yes.
But, you know, and I applaud her for that. I'm looking to do some of the same things because we all got a lot of trauma, and I think some of us get so used to being hurt and, you know, just constantly having to adapt that chaos is normal. So you don't realize how much you got going on sometimes until you fall apart, as you're saying, which has happened to me a time or two. But, to my point, I've recently found out, well, let me just ask you, when it comes to forgiving and all the things that go into the process, according to the Aramaic,
right,
do you have any experience with someone who has dealt directly with or has told you that they're dealing with, you know, something as ADD or ADHD, and how that might apply to this? Okay.
Yes. My take is ADHD is a defense mechanism against attack. It's a state of hypervigilance where, gee, I don't do very well in school because here I am sitting here and I have to keep my eyes open to make sure somebody doesn't blindside me. So how can I listen to a teacher? How can I be interested in this subject or that? And they say, oh, well, you just have attention deficit. No, I'm taking care of myself to make sure somebody doesn't destroy me. That's my take on ADHD. And so it's based in fear, and worksheets around that will tend to process that out.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to get your take on it because it's new for me. I am approaching 40 and have never known these things directly. Had some signs back when I was in fourth grade, this, the other, and I think I've fallen through a lot of crack.
Right.
Just because, you know, I guess you learn to adapt. And you just fall through a lot of cracks. So I'm just figuring out after, like, all this stuff has unwound in life, car accidents, all sorts of things. And I'm told that, you know, you can make it through your whole life until, like, something extremely stressful beyond what you've dealt with before can bring it about. So now that here we are,
tend to create enough goals and stress to give you those kinds of opportunities.
Oh, but she's been the blessing in it all, though. I feel like she's been a
lifeline
factor.
but remember that stress is not a problem. Stress is not a bad thing. Stress is a wonderful thing. Without stress, we'd all be dead. But having a child come into your life with all the wonderful pieces of the puzzle create or gives you reason to create a lot of goals, and every time you create a goal, you create a stress. That's not a bad thing. However, what happens is when we allow ourselves to become ultra-stressed, you know, we have one of the worksheets in our Laws of Living class is called a Mind Goal Management Sheet, which is designed to help you to manage your stress so that you don't reach the state where you get into power person dynamics, because when somebody becomes ultra stressed, the mind will begin to prompt them to do behaviors that their power person did to them that were not very nice. And it's not because of anything bad. It's just if we allow the stress level to get too high, again, stress being an absolutely necessary part of life, without it we'd be dead. But if we allow it to get too high, that's when we start to go into those other parts of the mind that are in need of healing. I've sent you a set of links. I texted you a set of links, which will take you through the Why Workshop and a couple of other things. I also sent you a little piece that I wrote on what our granddaughter, who's now 5 and a half, has taught us. We've been taking care of her from, you know, when our kids had the baby, they both had 3 months of maternity leave, so we didn't see much of her the first 3 months. But since then, since that first 3 months, we've had her 2 to 3, sometimes 4 days a week, and she's been one of our most awesome and wonderful teachers. And so that's part of the learning process of kids. What you speak to will be awesome. And I'm gonna, I don't have it on this phone. I actually just changed phones. But I'll look up and I'll send you a link on the challenges in the resolution of sympathetic dominance, which is what I hear you talking about. Moving out of the sympathetic state, fear, fight, flight, freeze, fawning, into parasympathetic, which is deeper rest, deeper digestion, higher brain function, and healing. So I'll send you a link to a training I did for the Avison Corporation for their medical professionals on that idea.
I appreciate that greatly. And I know we're approaching the end. So if you could just real quick, I'm just recently connecting with you all not too long ago. I'm looking, y'all are beyond where I'm at with the book. So it sounds like y'all have a Facebook group. What's the best way to connect? Because that's actually something I'm looking to do now. I'm very busy, but, you know, I don't want that to keep me from, like, making the right relationship and connection. So right. What will be the way you see to connect with, you know, what you all are doing to other people that, you know, are following this path to
the best way.
Betterment?
The best way is through the radio show. You know, this conversation on the radio show is the best way to do it. We do have, you know, if you determine you want to go to another level, we do have intensive workshops. We have a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing Club that meets monthly. So there's some other ways too. But if you want to go ahead and just look at those links that I sent you, and then we can communicate from there and see what support we can be.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for your time.
Hey. Delighted and honored to be supporting your family and especially that new little one and helping to welcome her into a world that is going to be awesome for her.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You all have a wonderful week.
All right. Blessings. Take care. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Bye-bye.